Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Pesach, of course, is all about storytelling, isn't it? How do we immerse ourselves in the Seder? What do we do to make it relevant, to make it real, to make it fun? It's all about that, isn't it, Professor Bill Kohlbrenner? Good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you, Howard. And yes, it's all of the things that you mentioned, all of those things. You know, we start out, I just have to mention, there's a very famous literary critic who decided that the matzah was the Jewish idea of the Eucharist. This is one of those times where you say to professors, a Jewish professor,
okay,
stay in your lane. Stay in your lane.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow. Okay.
Because halach maniyah does so many things. I mean, for us, and this is a metaphor, our Eucharist is our language. Through our language, through our telling of stories, that's how we communicate with the spiritual, with the divine. So halach maniyah, the bread of affliction. The first thing we do is we say to the community, this is even before we speak to our children, we say to the community, join us. Now what's interesting, and this gets to the storytelling aspect, is this is in Aramaic. It was composed in Babel, in Babylonia, when the Jews were in exile. So we are situated at the very beginning of the Seder, which is all about redemption, in exile. Hmm. Now, what's interesting about halach maniyah, it starts in Aramaic, but it ends in Hebrew. Lashana haba, this is Hebrew, b'nei chorin. And that there is the story of redemption snuck into the lechem ani. So we are always part of at least two stories. One, and this is why Pesach, the story of Pesach is so important, because God fulfilled his promise. He made a promise to the Avot, and we get a sense of the faith of the Avot, because the promises weren't fulfilled yet.
Hmm.
The promise is fulfilled, and we remember that. And we remember that for the other story that we're in the middle of right now, where it's Rangalis, but we also know the promise will be fulfilled. And not only that, but kol dor v'dor, every generation, this story is repeated and repeated and repeated. Part of the challenge of the Seder, which is all the things that you mentioned, is feeling lechem ani, the matzah, as impoverished, mm-hmm, and us being poor and in gala, but also the matzah being celebrated as b'nei chorin. We are free people. We get to the end. So it's much more complicated than the Eucharist. It's holding different stories together at the same time, which is what we do, Howard, right?
Mm, mm. And of course, that is the point, really, because we're sitting here in South Africa having our Seder. You're sitting in Israel. And at the same time, so you could say that, well, you know, for you, the promise has been fulfilled, but at the same time, it hasn't, given the fact that we have hostages in Gaza and given the fact that the story hasn't ended, because still, as every generation comes around, there are more people, there's yet another who will rise to try and destroy the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember growing up in Long Island, and even, you know, in graduate school, I remember feeling very uncomfortable when, you know, you go to in the middle of the Seder and you say, pour out your wrath upon the nations who have attacked us. I mean, we're not saying pour out, you know, your wrath on, you know, Republicans, right? I mean, we're saying the people who have actually attacked us, not just people we think are bad. And I used to feel really, you know, ambivalent about that. But, you know, no more, not after October 7th, you know, B'chol Dor V'Dor wasn't my dream. I was growing up, and this, now we feel that story intensely. And just going back to what you were saying about performance, I think part of that, what we do, I mean, I lead my Seder, and I lead it now with my grandkids. I have a 10-year-old and 9-year-old granddaughters. And when I brought up my own kids, I would perform the Seder. We had marshmallows for hail, and we would turn beet juice into water into dum. And it's interesting that even...
Oh, we are not having...
They know it's a production. The Haggadah is an instruction about... my back here.
Yeah, the internet is not helping us. I'm actually going to turn off our camera. If you would do the same.
I'm back.
There we go. Oh, you're back.
I'm back, Howard. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay. No problem.
Yeah. So where were you, Howard?
You were saying about that even when you would perform the Seder, that
That performance, they learn how to perform it. And while we perform it, and I think this is the really interesting point, is we show ourselves as part of that story, and we are part of that story. Even if you're sitting at the Seder table and you're bored, you can just think that this story has been told for over 2,000 years at these tables. And if you want to feel eternity in a moment, it's that moment where the parent and the child are speaking one to another. And there is that transmission of the older generation to the younger generation. And that gets repeated again and again and again. That's how we participate in Netzach Yisrael, in the eternal nature of Israel, by telling stories. Mitzvah aleinu lesaper. It's a mitzvah upon us to tell a story. It's not a mitzvah to learn logic. It's not a mitzvah to learn mathematics. You know, I think the Jewish people have forgotten to tell stories. It's a mitzvah to tell a story. Hmm. And, you know, people like you and me, Howard, we're in great shape because we love stories.
Yes, but in fact, stories are everything. You know, a successful advertisement tells a story. A good teacher who wants students to remember things tell stories. We've grown up with stories. Mm. We've seen the evolution of fairy tales of, I don't know, I always talk about Little Red Riding Hood, which was this instructive period as a young woman comes of age, and it's kind of evolved. And we know that. What is it about us that makes us resonate so strongly with a story? Where does it come from?
Well, I think it comes from many places. I think, first of all, it's trauma. And the way the Jewish people have always reacted to trauma is to continue to tell the story. Rabbi Akiva laughs in front of the ruins of Jerusalem, but at the same time he understands, oh, this is not the end. The story goes on. And then Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai makes, really, Torah Shel Baal Peh is a series, of course, laws, but also stories. We kind of recuperate our past through memory and storytelling. And of course, what I'm saying now is related to the Pesach Seder, but we could think of it, you know, we rewrote our story after the Holocaust. It's not the end. That's what Jews keep on saying. It's not the end. The story continues, and that's when we do it in front of our kids or our grandkids. It is perpetuating our story.
And in fact, what's interesting is that, well, I've kind of realized that the Seder becomes a story within of itself, because I think about my childhood with my grandparents and then my parents, and that becomes part of my own personal story, which we then transfer to our kids. That becomes theirs in some way. So there's remnants of each generation that is being pulled through from Seder to Seder.
But I bet as much as your Seder is in the tradition of your grandparents and great-grandparents, I bet yours is different still as well.
Yes. Yes. Yes, for sure.
And that is, you know, in Psalm 34, it says, throughout Psalms, sing a new song. And in a way, we're singing a new song, but we never forget the old songs. You know, and it's a great example of, you know, how people improvise. Great musicians can take a jazz standard and make it entirely their own. And that's what we try to do on Pesach. And it's going to be different for every single person in every family. I remember how when I first came to a very Orthodox neighborhood, I was so terrified that other people knew how to do it better than me. And then I just realized nobody knows how to do it better than me with my kids, right? And that's the whole point of the four children as well. Speak to the child who is in front of you. None of our kids fit into one of those four categories. Look at them, speak to them, connect with them.
I was going to say to you, what is the secret? If there's one or two takeaways for our listeners, how to create the story, tell the story, live a story? What is the secret learned from the great writers and from our own ancestors?
You know, the Russia says, you know, you don't need to do all of this stuff. We Jews know what we who we are. We don't need these ceremonies. And I think we say back to them, have the courage to be part of a story. And having the courage to be part of a story is be yourself. Don't worry about the guy down the block. Be yourself with your kids and look at them. And there's a special koach, a special strength of the Passover night. It just happens. Go with it.
Absolutely right. That is where we leave it. Professor Bill Kolbrenner, thank you as always. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom, a Chag Sameach, and a very, very special storytelling time with family. It is 8:30. I'm Howard Feldman. I'd love to hear from you. 061-895-1019. Good morning.